Welcome to the Heartbeat of God with Stacy Lunsford, the pastor of poetry. We bring you greetings from Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry, and you are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. Today's inspirational message of hope is entitled, Are You an Emotional Hearer? In the title of the poem that I will be sharing with you today is entitled, A Soul's Ascension. This is a part of the series that I'm doing for Renewing Your Mind. And a couple of days ago, I mentioned tearing down the house that lies built. And today, I want to focus on all of the survivors of sexual molestation and victims of rape, including those that have been spiritually, emotionally, and mentally raped. And I'm using this topic in this poem to show how the enemy would love to use our feelings and our emotions, all of those areas where we have been wounded, where we have been hurt, where we have been traumatized. The enemy uses all of those things to influence thoughts and behaviors based on the hurt and the pain. But God wants us to turn the hurt and the pain into praise. And we have a choice to keep our mind stayed on God. And God said that He will keep us in perfect peace. And it is a process. And the purpose of this message is to share hope today. And to let you know that whatever happened to you, that's not who you are. And all of the thoughts that you've been having that's been associated with what happened to you, we want to tear down those lies. We want to tear down those strongholds so that you can start thinking positive, so that you can start speaking positive, so that you can start doing positive things and break free from the painful hurts of your past. So I'm going to recite this poem for you entitled A Soul's Ascension. And after that, I will go straight into the message this morning. A soul's ascension, rising above to a higher dimension, giving yourself the needed attention to take yourself off of detention, releasing the rejection, the nasty infection, the contamination of the violation that scarred you, taking yourself off of punishment for something that you didn't do. I'm talking about a soul's ascension, learning how to break free, letting go of the misery, forgiving yourself, freeing yourself, and daring to be your beautiful self. Understanding that it's time to soar, you make a forward move as you close the door, leaving all of the false guilt and condemnation on the floor, making the choice intentional to go in a new direction, letting go of all your apprehensions and pretensions. You are ready to accept the truth and use the extension that God gave to you that broke the chain, the ball, and all of the contention that had you bound. A soul's ascension. Rising above demonic suspensions that tried real hard to stop and block you, but God used to reinvent you. And that's this peace. In Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in His plan and purpose for you. So this is a series that we're doing on the renewing of your mind. And if you take a look at the chart, we see the spirit, which is God consciousness, and we see the soul, which is self-consciousness. And then we see the body, which is world consciousness. So the poem that I just shared with you, A Soul's Ascension, I specifically pointed out those that have been abused, those that have been sexually assaulted, survivors of abuse. And I'm not limiting the abuse to those categories, but I'm using that as an example to identify what happens to a person once they have been violated sexually and how they tend to hang out in the soulless realm. And everything is based on their feelings and their emotions. This also happens to soldiers, veterans that struggle with post-traumatic stress disorder. It happens when someone witnesses a murder and they experience flashbacks. A child could witness a father abusing the mother. There are so many ways that our mind processes the things that we see and the experiences that we have. And once our soul is wounded, we tend to hang out in that soulless realm and we repeat the vicious cycles, the painful things that happen to us, and we rehearse them over and over and over, and it creates a stronghold. And I want to stress that most of the time, it's not your own thoughts or your own feelings. It's the enemy that is using your real feelings, your real emotions. I mean, you went through what you went through. And I want to make it perfectly clear that it's okay to feel the way you feel. Whatever happened to you, if you are angry, if you are mad, if you are sad, take ownership of how you feel. But don't let your feelings take control of you. And that's where we must learn how to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Many of us, once we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts as Lord and personal Savior, we became new creatures. And it's a daily process. Every day we should be growing. Every day our mind should be renewed as we apply the word of God to our lives. But how do we do that? What do you do when you've been wounded and it hurts so bad and you can't get over the hurt and you find it hard to forgive? You find it hard to let go. And you're struggling with mental anguish and you're being harassed by the enemy and you're being tormented. How do you overcome that level of pain? Well, I want to let you know that the enemy has strategically targeted your soul, your mind, your will, and your intellect. And if he can get you to focus and to stay stuck in that moment, that's all you'll think about. You'll think about other things, and you'll think about, you'll set goals and dreams, but you'll never believe that you can accomplish it because you're kind of stuck in the past with what happened to you. So today's message, I want to talk about being an emotional hearer. And there are some things that I want to break down, and I want to share 3 John chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So prosper is to achieve success. It's to blossom. It's to flourish or to thrive. And health is defined as mental and physical soundness. But I believe emotional and spiritual soundness should be added to that definition, because God wants us to be in good health, complete, and he wants us to experience complete balance in all 4 of these areas: spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally. So when we're dealing with the spiritual, we are talking about, or it's relating to the soul. And our soul consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions. And mental is relating to the mind, or something that is occurring in the mind. And physical is relating to our body. And when we're dealing with our body, we tend to rely on our senses, our sight, our hearing, our touch, our smell. And our emotions is responding to what happens to us, how we feel. So how healthy are you in these areas? Are you an emotional hearer? How do you react to everyday life, the trials, the tests, the tribulations, the hardships, and the adversities that come in and out of your life on a daily basis? How do you react to these things? How do you respond to these things? And no matter what happens to us, we always have a choice to come into agreement with the word of God. And what I mean by that, sometimes something can happen to you. It is a reality, but it is not your truth. So the poem that I opened up with, entitled A Soul's Ascension, this poem was talking about rising above a higher dimension and giving yourself the needed attention to take yourself off of detention. And what I mean by that is, when things happen to us, we tend to blame ourselves and we say it's our fault. And we limit ourselves. It's like we put ourselves on punishment. We enter into prison. And why do we do that? We have to learn how to respond to the word of God. Now, and I'm going to give you an example. Many, many years ago, I was falsely arrested and I served some time in the joint, 32 hours. To some, you may say, hey, that wasn't a long time, but believe me, it was a very long time. And as I stood behind those cold prison bars, I never cried, but I prayed and I praised God, just like Paul and Silas did, because I believed that God was going to get me out of that prison. Now, emotionally and mentally, I was distraught. I'm not going to lie, because it was a very frightening experience. And I said, God, the reality of being behind bars and locked up like a common criminal for something that I didn't do. I mean, I played a role in it, but I was falsely incarcerated. So that was my reality, but it wasn't my truth. So I had to train my man, my inner man, my spirit, to line up with the word of God. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I had to remember the scripture in Isaiah 26 and verse 3 that says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. And let me make that personal, because it was like, God, you said that you will keep me in perfect peace as I keep my mind stay on you and as I trust in you. And I said, I'm keeping my mind stayed on you because I'm not staying in this prison. This is not where you want me to be. This is not my reality. So I was behind prison bars, but dig this, I was not a prisoner. I was not going to allow the enemy to keep me trapped in that soulless realm, because he was telling me, you ain't never going to get out. You're never going to see your children again. What kind of mother are you that you would get locked up like this? I mean, the enemy was playing on my mind, on my feelings, and on my emotions. And then accountability set in. I had to pause and think about my behavior. What did I do to cause police officers to set me up to be falsely incarcerated? What did I do to enter into a Do It program for women that abuse their spouses when I was the one whose shoulder was severely dislocated? Well, you know what? I took matters into my own hands and I punched my son's father in the face for lying on me, because I got tired of his lies. I got tired of the abuse and the mistreatment, and I bust him in his mouth. And as a result, he lied on me more. And he had witnesses sign statements saying that I beat him down so bad and it took 5 guards to pull me off of him. So, you know, I always use my private pain for public profit. So that one act of rebellion and disobedience, it cost me something. It came with a price, because as big and bad as I thought I was, he beat me down so bad that it took 5 guards to pull him off of me. And then I was falsely incarcerated. So rising above a higher dimension, I had to look at my soulless realm and I had to see my God consciousness. I did not have time to play around in that soulless realm. I didn't have time to respond to my feelings or my emotions. I did not have time to be an emotional hero at that very moment, because it would have broke me down. And those things that happen in prison, let me tell you, it is real. What you see on television, unless you are there yourself, let me tell you, it is real. I learned how to be quiet and shut my mouth, because women were getting beat down all around me. So how do you deal with that level of violation? How do you deal with that kind of a nasty infection when you see and witness so many social injustices? It infects your thought process. It makes you question our judicial system. And if you are a compassionate person and you care about doing right, you're going to be concerned about the condition of other people. So here I am behind these prison walls and I'm saying, God, there's so many things being done wrong. I want to make a difference, but I'm in a situation where I really need to be focused and not start trouble, because I'm trying to get out of here. And to make a long story short, with that testimony, I had to learn how to break my other sisters free that were also in prison. But unlike myself, they were in prison. They were in bondage spiritually as well as mentally and emotionally because of the lifestyles that they were living. But God gave me the opportunity to minister to a couple of them. And the young lady that was in the cell with me, she actually rededicated her life to Christ. And he gave me a visual of Romans 12 and 2 of being not conformed to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this young sister, her mind was being transformed right before my eyes. And the bright light came on. Even though I was wrong for what I did, God needed me to be in that prison cell so that I could minister to this young lady that gave her life back to Christ, who confessed her faults and her sins to God and turned to God in prayer, true repentance. And as she rededicated her life to God, we began to celebrate in that cell. We began to give God the glory. We began to give God the praise. And I'm telling you, I was confident that I was going to get out of there. And God did release me. And he has been using that experience ever since to help me understand the call that is upon my life. That is associated with Isaiah 61 and verse 1. And we have to understand who we are. And we need to understand the work that God has given us to do. So after I was incarcerated physically, I received better understanding of the work that God has called me to do. And in Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed and commissioned me to bring good news to the humble and afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, to proclaim release from confinement and condemnation to the physical and spiritual captives and freedom to prisoners. And I said, God, you know, this is deep. I really love how you always give me visuals. I never thought I would actually be behind prison bars. But God, I thank you for using that for your glory. So I want us to look at Isaiah 61 for a moment because it says, he has sent me to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted and to proclaim release from confinement and condemnation. So I want you to look at this chart again. We have the spirit, we have the soul, and we have the body. For people that are brokenhearted and you have been wounded, the enemy loves to keep us confined right in that soulless realm. When we hang out in the soulless realm, when we respond to our feelings and our emotions, condemnation will kick in. And condemnation will condemn you. Condemnation will tell you all of the bad and negative things that you do, that you say. And condemnation will wear you down so much that it'll make you feel unworthy. It'll make you feel like there is nothing that you can do that can make God love you. God will never forgive you. God will never use you again. And so once you start believing the lies of the enemy in this area, the strongholds begin to build in your mind. And so you respond to the lies of the enemy. So the message I shared the other day, I said, eloquently speaking about tearing down the lies, the house that lies built. Many of us that have been wounded, that have been hurt in various areas, we have erected houses that have been built on lies. We have exchanged our identity in Christ, and we have embraced the lies of the enemy that has wounded us through people, through circumstances that broke our hearts, that stole from us. Everything that I teach about, I always identify the spirit of robbery. So wherever you have been wounded, wherever you have been brokenhearted, Whatever areas of your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, where you are experiencing confinement, all of the areas in your mind where you are in prison, where you are in bondage, where you don't feel like you can break free on your own. God wants you to surrender those areas to Him. And God wants to heal you, and God wants to set you free in those areas. Now, in that soulless realm, most people grow up responding to the feelings, to the emotions, versus responding to the word of God. So before our days in Christ, that's how we lived. We lived in this world. We was of the world. We responded like the world. We did things like the world. But once we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts as Lord and personal Savior, we learned how to operate as kingdom citizens in the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God has kingdom principles, and those principles are recorded in the word of God. The kingdom principles are the blueprints of God's word. In God's word, He gives us information and God gives us instructions. And it's up to us to apply what we hear, what we read in God's word to our lives. Now, God has given us a wonderful prescription, and I've been using this scripture ever since I started this series. And it's found in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 3 through 6. And we must learn how to pull down the strongholds. And I'm going to deal with that later. But right now, I want to go back to the question, how do you react to everyday life, trials, tribulations, and tests, the hardships that we go through? So a fact is something known to be true. A fact is something that can be shown to be true. Now, going back to my testimony, it was a fact that I was incarcerated, but it wasn't my reality. It wasn't my truth. So sometimes we experience things that are known to be true, but that's not our reality. And we must learn how to shut down the assignment of the enemy in those areas. So something that can be shown to be true, to exist, or to have happened is a fact. It is truth or reality of something. And the truth or actual existence of something is opposed to the supposition, like a hypothesis, something that is suggested that might be true, or something that is accepted as true on the basis of some evidence, but without proof of something or a belief about something. So my question about being an emotional hearer, when we respond to our emotions, the enemy will present many facts to us. And sometimes it could be a known truth, but it's not our reality. So we must learn how to capture every thought and bring it to captivity and bring it to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Do you respond to your emotions, or do you respond to the word of God? Let's talk about emotions for a moment. An emotion is having a strong feeling about something or somebody. It is a heightened feeling, a strong feeling about what happened. It can also be agitation caused by strong feelings of a disturbance. When you are in warfare, and the enemy is tormenting you with so many thoughts that are coming your way, it can agitate your spirit. And the spirit of irritation, the spirit of frustration, it works closely with the spirit of exasperation. And this is where the enemy will use a person to provoke you to anger, to provoke you to respond to your feelings. They edge you on. They say something that they know is going to get you off your square so that you can display behavior that's not true to your nature. Now, some of you, you've been really cool in this area, and you've been saying, you know what? They could say whatever they say. I'm not going to respond to my feelings. I'm really pissed. If you know what's best for you, you better just shut up and walk away from me. You know I'm keeping it real. And so they keep edging on, keep saying something. And then sooner or later, caught up in the heat of the moment, you say something or either you do something in response to what that person was doing to agitate you in your spirit. Now, I'm going to use a couple of examples. Some people are being highly agitated on your jobs. You're intimidated. You're being mistreated. And there's inner office disturbances. There's issues going on. And the enemy is trying to do everything they can to get you to display behavior that's not true to your nature. We must learn how to recognize the attacks of the enemy. And we must learn how to choose our battles wisely. And we must always understand and believe that the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. So if you don't get anything today, I want you to understand that when you start feeling agitated in your spirit, be mindful that the enemy is close by. And the next thing you're going to experience is severe irritation and frustration. And the purpose is to get you all caught up in that soulless realm. And in that soulless realm, you got stuff from your past. You got stuff from the present. It's like, and if you're not dealing with it in a healthy way, it's building up. And many times people, issues, their agitations, their frustrations, they build up in that soulless realm. And a little hill turns into a molehill, turns into a mountain, turns into a stronghold. And then somebody comes along and says something to you and boom, you go off because it's like you're a walking time bomb. So if this is really ministering to you, if you understand what I'm saying, I want you to stop. I want you to drop, and I want your operation to cause you to continue. All right. Hallelujah. It was trying to cut me off. Thank you, God. The enemy doesn't want this message to go forth. Every time I start teaching on this area, something happens, and I'm not going to give the devil no glory. But if you're experiencing agitation and disturbance in those areas, be mindful that the enemy wants you to respond in the soulless realm. Thing they do is based on their feelings. They never do anything based on the truth. The truth is present, but because, and I give you the glory and the honor. So some people respond to their feelings because they respond to the truth. And many times we will jump over the truth to believe a lie. Now, we all have the power to think in a logical and a rational manner. And we all have willpower. So I want you to look at the chart again when we go back up to the soul, because the soul consists of our mind, our will, and our emotions, and also our intellect. So when our will is low, when our will is so reduced because we're not reading the word of God, we're not in consistent relationship with God, there's a broken relationship with God because of many things. It could be a sinful behavior. It could be a hurt. It could be a pain. And sadly, many people do turn away from God when they are hurt, when they are wounded. Many people misrepresent God and they hurt other people. And this wounds their spirit. It wounds their soul. And a lot of times our wills have to be lined up with God's will. And when our will is lined up with our will, we will hang out in that soulless realm. But when we're dealing with sin, sinful behavior, sinful thoughts, when we're dealing with addictions, when we're dealing with besetting sins, an addiction is hard to break on your own. Because you don't have the will to stop doing whatever it is that you're doing. But When we turn to the word of God and we fast and we pray and we start reading the word of God, we start being transformed by the word of God, we start conforming to the word of God, our flesh gets weak, but our spirit man gets strong, and then our will is strong. Where we don't have the will to fight, now we do have the will to fight, and God strengthens us supernaturally. So, if you respond to your emotions instead of responding to the facts, something that is put forth as objectively real, something with real demonstrable existence, I'm talking about the truth, then you are operating in the spirit of error, which is deception. And this happens when we believe something that is not true. And going back to my testimony, I was incarcerated, and that was a reality. It was a demonstrable truth, but it was not my reality. If I would have accepted the fact that I was here and I was never going to get out, I was never going to see my children again, I would have come into agreement with the spirit of deception. I would have rejected the truth. I would have been despondent, filled with despair, depression would have set in, and I wouldn't have cared what happened to me. But I did care. So I rejected the lies of the enemy. I refused to accept the deceptive thoughts that were coming to me. I refused to embrace the spirit of error. I was operating in the spirit of error because I displayed behavior that wasn't true to my nature. I responded to my emotions and I punched somebody in the face, and I paid the heavy price for that. So error is something unintentionally done wrong, but error can also be something that is intentionally done wrong. And we do it and we don't care why we do it, because we all caught up in our feelings and we caught up in our emotions. And again, we do not have to defend ourselves. I don't care what happens to you. I don't care what somebody says to you. I don't care how bad they try to provoke you. You do not have to respond. You can reject them. You can ignore them. Because the moment you respond, if you're not responding to the spirit, it's not going to turn out well. So an example is displaying poor judgment or lack of care. And it can also be a wrong belief or a wrong opinion that is contrary to the fact or to an established doctrine. So a rule or principle that forms the basis of a belief, a theory, or a policy. And I want to pause here for a moment and ask you, what is your belief system? What do you believe? Do you believe that God is for you? Do you believe that God cares about you? Do you believe that God wants to help you? Do you believe that God has forgiven you? And this is an area where the enemy loves to deceive people and make them think that God doesn't love them, that God doesn't care about them, and that God will never forgive them. And this is based on what happens to them. In the beginning of the message, when I read the poem, A Soul's Dissension, I talked about people that were victims of abuse, people that experienced sexual assault, rape, and it's not limited to that category, but oftentimes when negative things happen to us and when we receive it, when we believe it, we come into agreement with the spirit of falsehood. We come into agreement with the spirit of deception. So deceive is to mislead somebody or to hide the truth deliberately. And the enemy is good with doing this. Sometimes people deceive or fool themselves by convincing themselves that something is true when it is not true. And this is called denial. And also, this is an area in the soulless realm where people are in denial of the truth. And when we're dealing with a person that has been wounded And all they know is the hurt and pain that they feel. They're not willing to accept the truth that they can be healed because they're overwhelmed with the lies of the enemy that told them that this is their portion. So this is where we must learn how to come out of agreement with the lies of the enemy and into agreement with the word of God. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they agree? Now, when we are in agreement with God's word, we're going to walk with God. Now, we're not perfect. It is a process. But as we walk with God, as we read God's word, as we learn how to apply God's word to our lives, the truth of God's word will dislodge the lies of the enemy. The truth of God's word will dislodge the spirit of deception. The truth of God's word will dislodge the spirit of error. The truth of God's word will give room for the spirit of truth to rise up within you. And when this happens, the spirit of righteousness also rises up within you and grants you the strength that you need to tell the devil no. And everybody under the sound of my voice, we have been anointed by God to tell the devil no. The one that is causing you to, and I'm not going to say causing you because the enemy can't make us do anything, but the enemy can present intrusions and influences to us through thoughts, through actions, through people. But we don't have to receive it. We've been receiving the lies of the enemy long enough. The enemy wants us to continuously be emotional hearers. The enemy will use your own feelings and your own emotions against you to get you to come out of agreement with God's word and do something silly or something stupid that's going to cause you to get into trouble. And oftentimes in the heat of the moment where we could be self-controlled, we could be displaying temperance. I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to do that. But remember, I was talking about the exasperation and the irritation. Something happens and you get so frustrated and bam, you out of character. You said something, excuse me, or you did something that wasn't true to your nature. So denial is refusal to acknowledge the existence of something. And it's an inability or refusal to admit that something is true. So many times when we are wounded, and let's go back to the chart for a moment. Today, I'm solely focusing on the soul because the soul is the area where we need to be healed. The soul is the area where we need to be delivered. The soul is the area where we need to be set free. Now, I want to go back to the scripture for those that was not here. In 3 John, the first chapter in verse 2, it says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So what is the condition of your soul today? What's going on in your soul? Are you hanging out in the soulless realm? Are you responding to your feelings and to your emotions? Responding to your emotions will prevent you from prospering. And we just read, let me go back again, because everything that's being said today, the power is in the word of God. The power is in God's plans and the power is in God's purpose for your life. And you won't know that unless you read the word of God. Now, every time I come online, I'm sharing the word of God. I'm sharing what God has given me to release to you because God wants to see you set free in those areas, not just you, me too. I'm not exempt, but I'm going to always give you the word of God. But I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to go to the word of God and read it for yourself. Too many people just listen to people elaborating on the word of God and they don't follow up and read for themselves. Now, I want you to know that you are in good hands, and I have to smile there because I'm going to rightly divide the word of truth. That's my job. I don't like it when people don't teach the true word of God. And many people are misleading God's people, and many people that are emotional hearers are open to be attacked by false prophets, false preachers, and false teachers that are on an assignment to keep your soul wounded, broken, and don't want your soul to prosper. Because as long as you hang out in that soulless realm, dig this. They can tell you whatever they want to tell you because you ain't going to read the word. They can tell you whatever they want to tell you when you get all high and excited off your feelings and your emotions. And then they open up them prayer lines and you are high off your feelings and your emotions. It is not a true move of God. It is a spirit of deception that is operating so that you will give up your money. And it's a game that they play in, the high rollers, you know, and it's time for the truth to be exposed. And it's time for us to get healed in our feelings and our emotions and in that soulless realm, because the enemy is on an assignment to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So let's go back to the emotions. Responding to your emotions, there's four things that I want to share with you. Responding to your emotions will prevent you from prospering, as well as you could prosper. So you have the ability to prosper, and you have the ability to greatly prosper. We should be growing in prosperity. There's a whole lot of prosperity messages going around, naming it, get this car, you're going to get this house. That is not what this scripture is talking about. God wants us to prosper in every area of our lives. And he wants us to be successful financially. Yes, he does. But be careful of all of these prosperity messages, because everything that they're preaching and everything that they're teaching is not lined up with the word of God. When you are prospering, you are spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, and economically prospering. Now, just because you're not on a level that people may want you to be, or you feel as though you should be, you are where you are. And if you don't like where you are, if you want to change where you are, then change your thought process. And that's on renewing your mind. And today we're dealing with the emotions and being an emotional hearer. Because if we continue to respond to our emotions, we're not going to change. So when it comes down to being spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally responsive, spiritually, we will be drained, we will be withdrawn, and we will be depressed. Physically, you will become weaker, and some people, your health may begin to decline. And I'm going to come back and elaborate on that. Mentally, you will experience a meltdown because you'll get burnt out. You're just tired. Emotionally, you will be broken down. And where you should be flourishing, responding to your emotions will cause you to experience a drought in your life. And a drought is a period of dry weather or a long period of extremely dry weather when there is not enough rain for the successful growing of crops or the replenishment of water supplies. So right here, I want to talk about a farmer, and when a farmer plants the seeds, he can water the seeds, but he relies greatly on the rain and the sun. And if we don't get any, if the farmer isn't getting any rain in that area, he will experience a drought. Excuse me. So I want you to see your mind. I want you to see your heart as fertile ground where the word of God is the seeds that are being planted. So you water the seeds with prayer. You water the seeds of the word with reading the word, with talking to God. And When you experience a spiritual drought in your heart, in your soul, it's because you're not watering the soil with the word of God. And this will result in the lack of reading, the lack of studying God's word. It will also lead to a blocked prayer life. It will lead to the lack of praise and worship. It will lead to negative thoughts, negative speech, and negative behavior. Responding to your emotions will cause you to become hard, calloused, bitter, resentful, suspicious, and fearful of everyone around you. And this will cause you to build a wall around yourself in an effort to protect yourself from being hurt. But in all reality, the enemy is secretly undermining everything that you're trying to do. And the enemy is using your own feelings and your own emotions to place you in bondage. And this is how strongholds are built. This wall that was built as a strong tower to protect you, dig this, it will leave you lonely. It will leave you depressed. It will leave you irritated, hopeless, joyless, friendless, and incapable of effectively communicating and expressing yourself to those around you. The wall that was once your friend will now become your worst enemy and will do everything it can to keep you isolated, way off by yourself. You don't want to be around people no more. You don't want to be in the crowd. You don't want to be in the forefront. You want to be far away from your family. You want to be far away from your friends. You want to be far away from the church, because the church ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. All they do is hurt people. I don't trust nobody in there. They not for real. They don't love God. They misrepresenting God. I'm just going to stay right here where I am. I'm going to build this wall up, and I'm going to let this bitterness take over my life. I'm going to let this root of bitterness take over my heart. I'm going to let this root of bitterness take over my emotions. This root of bitterness, I'm going to be so callous in this soulless realm, ain't nothing going to penetrate me. And this is what happens. We have some people that are so bitter and they're so full of resentment, and the word of God wants to break that root of bitterness. And how can the word of God break the root of bitterness? The word of God can break everything that we're dealing with. So if this message is blessing you, please talk back to me. If you have a question, if you have a prayer request, if you have a comment, please place it in the comments. And I'm going to go through the comments in a moment, but I want to go back to the 4 points that I just shared with you, how responding to our emotions will prevent us from prospering. So I said I would come back to point number 2 when I said physically you will become weaker and your health may decline. So let's go back to the soulless realm for a moment. Look at the chart, because it's talking about our self-conscious and it's talking about our mind, our will, and our emotions. So when we're hurt, whatever happens to us, we process it in that soulless realm. And we do have a choice to, let me say, okay, help me, Holy Spirit. Whatever happens to us, we hear different voices that help us to process what happened to us. So I want to talk about the spirit of discernment for a moment. Now, the gift of discernment is one of the spiritual gifts that is recorded in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And it is one of the revelatory gifts. The revelatory gifts are spiritual gifts that God has given to us, and they are gifts that reveal something. So during the discernment process, we hear 4 voices. I used to say 3 voices, but we actually hear 4 voices. We hear God's voice, We hear Satan's voice, we hear our own voice, and then we hear the voice of other people. And I want to encourage you, it's okay to talk to people at certain times, but we must use wisdom. Go to God first, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we want to always go to God first. So Satan is going to condemn you. Satan is going to make you become weaker. But God will, listening to God's voice will make you become stronger. Listening to your own voice based on what you're saying to yourself will determine if you will become weaker or if you will become stronger. Now, this is a very good question, because remember, we are sowing the word of God into our hearts. So how deep is the word of God? Is the word of God rooted and grounded in your heart? You see, the seat of our emotions, the soul is the seat of our emotions and our feelings. So when the word of God is embedded in our heart and we respond to the word of God, that means we're being led by the Spirit of God, and we're not going to be led by our feelings and our emotions. So we're not going to do what typically our flesh wants us to do. So the next voice that we hear is the voice of other people. And when it comes down to the voice of other people, we have godly counsel and we have ungodly counsel. We got false prophets and we got true prophets. We have true men and women of God and we have false men and women of God. We have people that are operating in the spirit of truth, and we have people that are operating in the spirit. Who are you listening to? Jeremiah 17, it tells us, cursed is the man that put his trust in man. And if you want to enter into a dry season that we was talking about a moment ago, then you keep putting your trust in man. Nothing good will come out of putting your trust in man. God does not want us to seek ungodly counsel. And you'll find that in Psalm 1. God wants us to trust him and him alone. And I'm not saying he won't send people our way. He will. But you must be careful with who you talk to. You must be careful with who you share your information with. Because everybody is not your friend. Many of you are surrounded by people that don't have your best interests at heart. And a lot of them pretend to be your friend and they want to get to know you so that they can gather information about you so that they can later use it against you. Now, I'm not trying to make anybody paranoid or anything. I just want to expose the works of the enemy, because the enemy used people. And the familiar spirit operates through busybodies that love to be or pretend to be for you, but they're really against you. And they don't do anything to hurt you. They just observe you. They in the cut with you. If you going to the club, they going to the club with you. If you going to church, they going to church with you. You know, you going shopping, they going shopping with you. But when things happen to you, when trials and tribulations come, when hurts and pains come, they watching you. Oh, let me see how she respond when she get mad. Oh, let me see how he respond when he lose this job. Let me see how well he going to trust God. Oh, her son just got shot. Where her God at? Let's see how she going to respond. So the enemy is watching, and those just a couple examples. The enemy is watching and observing. And this person goes back to headquarters and reports all of the things that they observe with you. And they report it to their superiors. And then in the second heaven, there's three heavens. Let me break this down for a moment. We have our first heaven, which is above us, the firmament. Then we have the second heaven, where Satan, all attacks against us, all spiritual warfare, everything, it begins in the second heaven. And that's where Satan's headquarters is. So the busybodies, the familiar spirit, they go back and they take the information. And in the second heaven, the attacks against you are created. So whatever they watched and observe you do, they know how you're going to respond to your feelings and your emotions. And that's why, remember earlier when I was talking about the spirit of irritation, frustration, and exasperation, and how the enemy will use these tools to provoke you to anger, to get you off your square, to encourage you, to incite you, to display behavior that is not true to your nature. This is all strategic, but I want you to know that God is very strategic, and God is strategically exposing the works of the enemy. He's opening the prison doors and he's setting the captives free, because many prison bars have been opened. God is opening up your understanding, and the enemy is on notice that his assignment over your life is over, and you're no longer going to be an emotional hearer. You're going to respond to the word of God, and the word of God is going to transform your mind, and you're going to walk by the Spirit. You're going to live by the Spirit. You're going to be controlled by the Spirit. Now, while you're going through this process, if you fall short of the glory of God, because you will, we all will, don't focus on how you fell. Focus on how you're going to get back up, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Still righteous, because God said that you have been established in his righteousness and you are far from oppression. So if you fall short of the glory of God and then you start embracing the spirit of oppression, listen, who's oppressing you? God is not going to oppress you. God is not going to condemn you. We must learn how to respond to the word of God and stop responding to our feelings and stop responding to our emotions. So going back to putting or hearing the voices of man, Jeremiah 17:5, it says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in and relies on mankind, making weak, faulty human flesh his strength, and whose mind and heart turn away from the Lord. For he will be like a shrub in the parched desert, and shall not see prosperity when it comes, but shall live in the rocky places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. So I want to go back to one of our foundational scriptures, which is recorded in 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So as I just read in Jeremiah 17:5-6, how is your soul going to prosper in a parched desert? The word of God says, for he will be like a shrub in the parched desert, that means it's a dry place, and shall not see prosperity. So that's the opposite of what we just read, where God wants us to be prosperous. So some of us haven't been prospering, or we're not as prosperous as we can be. And it's right here in the word of God. You've been putting your trust in man. In that soulless realm, you've been listening to the voice of other people. And these people have not been guiding you correctly. They have not been counseling you correctly. God wants you to stop putting your confidence and trust in man. And God wants you to put your trust in him. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your paths. So I want to go back to point number 4. Physically, you will become weaker and your health may decline. So when we internalize what we feel, whatever it is that you experience, when you don't deal with it, many people don't like to confront. Some people are afraid of confrontation. Now, we do have healthy confrontation and we have unhealthy confrontation. An unhealthy confrontation is where you will confront a situation all hyped and in your feelings and in your emotions, and your attitude is not going to be right, and you're going to display negative behavior. Whoever it is you're going to confront, your presentation is not going to be welcomed because of your attitude, because of your disposition. When we have a healthy confrontation, your confrontation, your presentation is going to go well because you're being controlled by the Spirit of God. You're cool, you're calm, you're collective. You don't want to fight. You don't want to argue. You want to come together in the spirit of unity, and you want to discuss what happened in a mature way that will help bring resolution. Okay? So when we internalize, when we don't deal with our issues, it affects our health. And people, when you worry, anxiety will trickle in. It will, people get high blood pressure. Sometimes it affects the cholesterol. People deal with depression. There's so many ways that it affects our health, and our health will begin to decline. And mentally, when you are just mentally exhausted and you've been harassed and tormented so much in your mind, you will begin to experience a burnout. And when that happens, the spirit of heaviness is sent on an assignment to send a vicious cycle of despondency, despair, isolation, some of the things that I went over, where we begin to isolate ourselves and we build these walls to protect ourselves, but we're really building a wall that imprisons us and places us in bondage. So this is Stacey Lunsford, and you're listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. Today's message is entitled, Are You an Emotional Hearer? And I pray that you have been blessed by this message. Please continue to stay connected. Our foundational scripture is Romans 12:2. And I am praying for you. I am praying with you. I leave you with this. Eloquently speaking to those that are being tormented in your mind by harassing thoughts, feelings, and emotions from the various experiences that have traumatized you through the years. And they have been holding you back, holding you hostage, and have placed you in bondage. The enemy, and I want you to listen carefully, the enemy has been using your own feelings against you to control you, to intimidate you, to manipulate you, and to prevent you from growing in the knowledge of God. So I have a question for you. Why would the enemy do this to you? Who are you that the enemy would go to such great lengths to toy with your mind like that? And you hear how my voice changed? Who are you? You are somebody in the body of Christ. And the enemy is afraid of you. For real, for real. So why is the enemy working so hard to keep you in mental anguish? Why has the enemy targeted your mind to be his playground? Pause and think about that for a moment. And dig this. What if the enemy lost his power to use your mind as his playground? What would you do differently? My. What would you do differently if your mind was controlled by the Holy Spirit versus being controlled by your feelings and your emotions and the things that the enemy use against you to distract you, to prevent you from listening to the Holy Spirit? Are you an emotional hearer? Pause and think about that. Isaiah 26:3 tells us that when we keep our mind stayed on God, God will keep us in perfect peace. And that's God's promise to us. And that scripture is our memory verse for this week, Isaiah 26:3. When we don't keep our mind stayed on God, when we don't keep our mind stayed on God, we forfeit God's peace. God is going to always make his peace available to us. But we forfeit it sometimes by embracing the lies of the enemy. We must make a conscious decision no matter what happens. And listen, don't be hard on yourself. What I'm sharing with you today, it took me years to learn this because I used to rehearse my stuff over and over and over. And I didn't have peace in a lot of areas. But when I learned Isaiah 26 and verse 3, God said he will keep me in perfect peace as I keep my mind stayed on him. And I used to ask God questions. God, why do I keep rehearsing this hurt and pain over and over and over and over? And back then, I didn't know what I know now. I didn't know that I was going to be teaching on this subject. I didn't know that all of the hurts and pains that I went through, that God was going to use it for his glory. I didn't know, because one of the questions that I just asked you, I said, why is the enemy working so hard to keep you in mental anguish? And then I said, what would you do differently if your mind was controlled by the Holy Spirit? Well, I am a living example. When the enemy stopped controlling my mind, I started working for God and I started helping people get set free in this area. But I'm not the only one that God has given a job. There are a lot of teachers that are listening to me. There are a lot of intercessors that are on this broadcast. And I'm asking everybody, I don't care who you are, titles are not important. This is a very important topic that is in need of serious intercessors that are willing to come alongside and work with me and help pray and close some of these breaches and close some of these gates and close some of these doors, these portals that have been opened against our people. And I say our people because we are many members, but we are one body. I love everybody under the sound of my voice. We are members of the body of Christ and we are one. If one is hurting, then we're all hurting. If one is going through, we're all going through. If one gets healed, then let's help the next one get healed. We must come together on one accord and start fighting with the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's enough power right here, right now to cause divine reversals. Who's with me? Aren't you tired of being manipulated and intimidated by the enemy? What do you want God to do for you? I want you to look at that chart. And I want you to see the soulless realm. And I want you to go to God today and say, God, Stacy said a lot of things that made sense to me. And I have some questions for you. And I'm asking you to help me absorb and to search out scriptures that can help me. Because I have been experiencing mental anguish in this area. I've been being tormented in that area. And I never knew why I was doing these things. So go to God. If you want to reach out to me, you are more than welcome to. And I encourage you to continue to stand in the gap for yourself and for others. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this message today. We thank you for those that have been listening to this message. I thank you for those that you will send to listen to this message later. I thank you for healing us. I thank you for delivering us. I thank you for setting us free in our feelings and our emotions. And Lord, in that soulless realm where we've been hanging out, thank you for helping us to learn more about the soul, more about the flesh and our emotions, and more about the spirit. Spirit of the living God, we ask that you fall down fresh upon us in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask that you would release a fresh anointing upon us. Oh God, we release the power of the blood of Jesus to flush out everything that is not like you in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you for opening the prison doors today and setting the captives free. We thank you for dismantling all demonic and satanic strongholds that have been erected in the minds and the hearts of your people. Oh God, as you release the power of the blood of Jesus, Let it dislodge the lies of the enemy. Let it dislodge the spirit of error. Let it dislodge, oh God, the spirit of falsehood and the spirit of deception. And God, let it dislodge the spirit of robbery in the mighty name of Jesus. And everything that was stolen, make the enemy put it back. God, we thank you for restoration. Thank you for restoring our minds. Thank you for restoring our hearts. Thank you for restoring, God, our emotions, our feelings, and help us to respond to the word of God. We seal this prayer with the blood of your son, Jesus Christ, binding the spirit of backlash and retaliation, giving you the glory, giving you the honor, thanking you and praising you that no weapons formed against us shall prosper. Father, we thank you that as we are intentional about renewing our mind, that we will be conformed to your word and your word will transform us from the inside out. And to that we say glory, hallelujah, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you and have a wonderful day.